Welcome to A Senior Moment. I'm Kathleen Morgane in for Joanne Rideout. Today we're going to have an overview of services available in our area in Northwest Oregon and in Southwest Washington. In the studio today are Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging and Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services. Now, before the show, we were talking about this time of the year being a time when people often visit parents at home and they may not have seen them for a long time, and you start to get calls about what services are available for elderly parents.
Yeah, so people, you're right, people from all over the place would come down for Christmas and they haven't seen mom or dad for a few months, and then they realize, oh gosh, they're struggling more than they were last time I was here. Maybe, you know, laundry isn't getting done, or the refrigerator's looking bad, or they realize that they're having difficulty getting up out of a chair or out of their beds, having trouble getting their showers. So they'll start calling in and trying to find out what services are available, and they'll be kind of in a rush sometimes because they are just there for a few days, or they had to run back home and now they're calling long distance trying to take care of it. So it can be kind of a disquieting time for folks.
Doug?
Yeah, it certainly can. I agree with everything she said, and it's sometimes it's been maybe even more than a year. You know, we couldn't make it last Christmas. We're going to really make it this Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever it is. And on the phone, being a good dad or mom, oh, everything's fine. We're doing great. Everything's fine. We're doing this and this and this and this. And at some point, things begin losing ground, because they maybe can't do the laundry, as Michelle said, or they're not throwing away food and it's getting really spoiled in there, or having trouble taking care of the pets or something like that. And it's gradual. So they may not notice it, and it may not seem dramatic to mom and dad, but when the kids come home, they go, wow, this is way different than it used to be. The thing that I would advise visiting family is sometimes things that happen, we call it when help attacks. It's, okay, here's what you got to do, Dad, and I'm leaving in 3 days, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, instead of, you know, and Dad's going, okay, I got the leave part, but other than that, you know, I'm not really interested. So it's a good time to start conversations, you know, and just say, hey, you know, this looks like you're having some problems here. You know, what do you think if we, you know, get mom and dad involved in the conversation? Because you're going to leave and go back home. And if we do a cold call, sometimes mom or dad will just say, oh, no, the kids are just, you know, they're too concerned or whatever. But if you've already established that conversation and mom and dad know where to call and the dialogue begins before they leave, then it can continue. And it's a lot better bridge there.
Yeah. So, one thing I don't like to see, or I see often, and it kind of can be bothersome, is when a family, there's a caregiver, a local caregiver, so maybe there's several siblings and one is trying to take care of mom and dad and then the others show up.
Yep.
And it can be real easy to be critical of the situation if it's not exactly the way that they would like to see it when they get there. So, you know, treating that with some caution and some diplomacy and visiting and trying to understand really what is happening before jumping in and trying to fix things can be real important. We've had quite a few of the sisters and siblings and brothers, and it's trouble.
So what I'm hearing is often it's a medical issue of some kind that triggers the initial call to some kind of senior services. So I guess we can start there on the overview of just what medical help is available on either side of the river.
Well, the whole process, mm-hmm. too, can start in a variety of ways. Sometimes it might be someone who's reading the meter on the house, and they notice that, you know, he used to see me and come outside and, hi, how you doing, and all of that. And he says, and it looks like, you know, the curtains aren't even being opened, and the neighbors say he's there, but, you know, he's real concerned that way. And so sometimes it's just kind of like what they used to call a welfare check. You know, is everything okay there? Is everything going on? Or it might be where we had an instance where a woman was going into the bank and just sort of putting all this cash on the counter and trying to help them help her figure out what she got this cash for something. She was going to pay for something. And of course the bank personnel, the alarms are going off going, okay, we've had this person has been a client of ours for years, and now she's really confused, and it's really not good form to have all this cash around. So we get calls like that also. So it could be just a sort of a gradual slide, or it could be a real severe medical event. And it could be something where people go, oh, no, all of a sudden they have dementia. Well, if someone all of a sudden has dementia, it's probably a medical problem. So there's a lot of different things like that, and calls come in from a variety of different places. And it may be something as simple as, you know, has the family contacted their doctor? Have they, you know, checked as a pharmacy, done a review of her meds, you know, that type of thing? Or it could be, you know, something more serious than that, where you do have to get some help in the home and so on.
Yeah. One real common medical problem that as people get older, UTIs, urinary tract infections, can cause a dementia-like symptoms. And so it can be as simple as that, getting into the doctor and getting that evaluated. It can change a person's disposition and their ability to think dramatically as we get older. We don't think about that because when we're younger, it doesn't act that way. But somehow the system changes as we get older, and it can certainly cause a dementia kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Happening. It's very common.
So if a family member is noticing something's going on, a neighbor or someone in the community, say the bank example that you just gave, what's the starting point? You know someone needs help. What is the starting point?
We have centralized kind of information and assistance through our AAAs, our Area Agency on Aging, which we have. Those are throughout the country. They come in different names and different forms. In Clatsop County, though, the easiest thing is just to call our office at Northwest Senior Disability Services. We are that. We are the agency, the Area Agency on Aging, as Doug is on that side. So that's the best place to start. It's simple. It's easy. Just start there. And somebody may redirect you to another phone number. That can be frustrating. But it is really the best place to start with. That's what they were originally set up for. We have, you see another form of it out there called the ADRC, or the Aging and Disability Resource Connection or Resource Center. And that is basically the same thing. You see ADRC out there in our county, that's going to connect you to the same place. It's connect you to our office. So in Clatsop County, I just say, just get a hold of us. We're in Warrenton, and we'll do that.
We were talking earlier about the kind of services that are available to connect people with medical help of one form or another. And specifically, you did mention a program called SHIBA.
Yeah, there were several things that people can call in for. So, for instance, if the family was visiting and realized right now what's happening in Clatsop County is families been visiting and finding out that maybe the Regents Advantage plan that's been lost that they had, or they've lost their Part D plan, or they need prescriptions now and they've never had prescription coverage before. They can call our office and we can connect them to a volunteer that can help them with Medicare planning and options. And so that's one of the resources that they can call for among many.
And on the in the Pacific County?
Yeah, same thing. We have SHIBA over there also. And it's everything from Medicare Part A to Part B, which is the outpatient to, well, I won't go to C because that's an Advantage plan that we no longer have over there. And Part D is your prescriptions, and there are supplemental insurances. So, yeah, SHIBA is statewide and on both sides of the river, and it's just health insurance benefits advisors. So we have trained volunteers and trained staff that will sit down and navigate Medicare.gov and help you find the best supplementals or what you want to cover or what prescription plan works best for you and what pharmacy you want and that type of thing. they can also help you find with other staff, help you find Medicaid doctors or dentists if you happen to be on Medicaid, because they are getting fewer and fewer, but it's a bigger need. So there are a lot of different resources we can help with there.
So under 65, Health Plan Finder, the Washington site for in general insurance, and the Oregon is the federal website.
If you're under 65?
Under 65, and then over 65, Medicare, and then income levels, there's a difference in what's available.
Yeah, the health benefit exchange is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And we do not, as of September, we do not sign people up on insurance plans anymore with that. We only deal directly with Medicaid, which in Washington is now called Apple Health. But there are a couple of brokers in Pacific County and in Grays Harbor County that still do the benefit exchange for the under 65 people that you're talking about. We did it up until September, and then they, in Washington anyway, they decided that if you were going to continue as a navigator, you had to have dedicated staff and you had to do this much more, and it just, for our offices, didn't work. We couldn't do it. So we stayed with signing up for Medicaid, Washington Apple Health, but we can refer people out and let them know where they can go for the benefit exchange.
Right. And in Oregon, that's Oregon Health Plan, and there are navigators available that we can at least steer you toward. They're not through our agency, but we can steer you toward those.
If the need isn't for full-blown medical care, or if your loved one has that in place, but you're noticing they might need a little bit of help around the house, or maybe their personal care isn't what it once was, then I'm assuming that there's some services out there that can deal with that issue.
Right. Well, there's a couple of different ones. If they are eligible for Medicaid, there are Medicaid in-home care programs. Now, it requires that you do have some personal care needs, help with bathing, help with hygiene, help with medication management, those type of things. If you have some personal care needs, then you can also have some assistance in housework and so on. In Washington right now, through Medicaid, well, here too, I guess, through Medicaid, mm-hmm. you can't just get housework assistance. Now, if you're not Medicaid eligible and you have the funds, you can contact an agency that will send a caregiver in and work with you on a schedule to clean your house or do whatever you want to do. And we can make those connections too, give you the information as to who to contact, who provides those type of caregiver services, and then, you know, make the connection so that the two of you can put it together and figure out what you need and how it works.
Yeah, so in Oregon, we have the same kind of thing. If you need the activities of daily living, they call it, if you need help with some of your prime ones, like transferring and walking, toileting, kind of thing, then you might, and you have low income and low resources, you may qualify for Medicaid to help you pay for that. But before that point, if you have resources available and you're looking to how do I approach long-term care, and we consider long-term care to include in-home care, maybe an adult family center or a home, or assisted living, or nursing care, those are all considered long-term care items. And so mm-hmm. We kind of couch it under options counseling in Oregon. And so you can call our office and ask for somebody just to help with options, talk about options. And so we will send a long-term care options counselor in and ask them to go over all the possibilities. And if you have resources and money that you're spending, we want you to know how to best spend them to get the best care, and what the long-term plan might be, and when you might qualify then to get onto Medicaid. So, for instance, if a couple, if a married couple is looking at one of the partners needing care and not the other, then we have the spousal impoverishment law that actually helps maintain money and resources for the healthier spouse, and on paper, kind of impoverishes a person who needs care so that we can get them onto Medicaid. So we try to help maintain resources. So at the point in time, I usually tell people at the point in time that you're having, thinking you have to pay for care, whether it's privately or, you know, paying a home care worker to come in, or needing somebody to go to assisted living, you need to talk to us and we can help you plan that out a little bit.
In general, if a family member is concerned about a loved one and is investigating some of these options, how about vetting the providers? Is that something that you can do or direct to another agency that does?
Well, it depends. Now, the caregiving agencies, they have to have their caregivers are required, I assume it's the same in both, mm-hmm. required to have training, certain hours of training in how to do different functions for the activity, daily living tasks. They also have to have background checks, fingerprints, all of that kind of stuff. So the agencies that are contracted with the state have to have all that stuff in place. Okay, and if you're going to have an agency that's doing in-home care, you have to have that stuff in place. There's also what are called individual providers. that are in Washington. It's a little different over here, but in Washington, we do the contract for them. They contract with the state, but the client is actually the employer. They are unionized workers, but we also do the. They have to have the same training. They have to have 70 hours training and continuing ed. They have to have, I think it's 14 hours training. I might be wrong on the hours, but the beginning hours is 70 hours. And they have to have a fingerprint background check. They have to have a state background check. And then they're monitored during the year. So, yeah, they aren't people that are just, you know, oh, I always wanted to help somebody, so we throw them in the home. No, they have to have all these things in place, and they have to be continually updated. In Washington State, they also have to be registered with the health care authority as a home care aide. So there's a lot of stuff going in there. Does that catch everybody? No, because as we all know, background checks just means you haven't been caught at anything. So, but for the most part, it's everything we can do to make sure that's a safe situation.
In Oregon, it's a little bit different. It's a lot, like you said, we have unionized home care workers that are that work for Medicaid clients. In the world of hiring somebody on private pay, then you can work off of the home care worker registry and call people on there. But they've all we can say about them really is that they've got a background check and they've registered with the commission. We do talk, you know, when I get a chance to go out and talk to somebody about their different options and their in-home care situation, one of the things that I do talk about is preparing your home for home care, for people to come in to your home. And so if there's things that are very, very important to you, you might want to think about how you're going to protect those things. And sometimes those are sentimental things. They have no other value to anybody but you and your family. And so why have those out? You know, put those away in one room that you can, it has no access to it. Maybe you can lock it. Or maybe if you were thinking about giving the things that are value to your kids, maybe it's time to start thinking about giving them to them and let them, you know, that way you know they're safe. They're where they're meant to go. So we start talking about that. We start talking about medications. It's good to have a lockbox and lock Yes. your medications up. Lots of things are happening with medications now, even the medications that aren't necessarily narcotics. A lot of medications still have some value, some street value. And also, you don't want to be in a situation that something came up missing and maybe you just simply misplaced it. And now you had to, you know, suspect the home care worker of stealing it. So why not take care of that up front? So before you start into that situation, and then everybody's happy. You also want to think about things like gift giving. What is appropriate gift giving for a home care worker? Is it grandma's diamond ring? Well, probably not. You know, probably one of the kids is going to want to argue with that. Is it a box of candy? Maybe, you know. So we start talking about that. What is appropriate to... You have employed somebody in your home. This is an employee. What are the appropriate boundaries for an employee in your home? And how do you treat them as employees? And how do you come up with a job description and a task list for these people to come in your home? You don't want them to just come in and plop themselves down on the couch and start going through their computer. You know, that just isn't right. So you have to have tasks ready for them and a plan ready for them, or things can go very, very wrong. So we start planning and talking and training for that.
And that gets very difficult, too, if it's long term, because they come in as a worker, as a caregiver, and over a year, 2 years, you're bonding.
Kind of like family.
It becomes like family. So you're going in and you're asking, well, you know, how's the caregiver doing? And they're saying, oh, just like a daughter to me. And you're thinking, it's maybe not too good of a thing. But so, yeah, those you have to, like Michelle said, you really have to watch those boundaries that they don't blur and cause a lot of problems. So
that's one thing that family members should keep in mind, kind of do a little oversight on this journey.
Yeah. Check
right.
in.
Really, if they can get on the front end of that, of planning for that person and really treating them like an employee, I think everybody's more comfortable. The person that walks in, I mean, I don't think it's very fair. If I went to work and they didn't have a list of tasks for me to do or something that they want me to accomplish, then I would feel pretty cheated as an employee. I need something to do.
Right.
So if I'm not told what needs to be done, I'm going to find something to do, and that may not be what they want done. Mm-hmm. So they need to tell me what that is that I need to accomplish while I'm there. And that's only fair as an employee to do that. So I try to really put that into the person who's hiring, that they are an employer now. And a lot of them haven't ever been employers. They've never had to think about that. Now they're sick, they're tired, they can't, you know, they can't do their take care of themselves, and I'm asking them to be an employer. You know, that's kind of difficult. Mm-hmm. That's a difficult place to put them.
Well, I'm going to pause right now just for station identification. You are listening to A Senior Moment here on Coast Community Radio, and we're speaking with Doug Schaefer of the Olympia Area Agency on Aging and Michelle Lewis from Northwest Senior and Disability Services. If you're not quite ready for someone to come in the home, but maybe you're stepping back from something as complicated as cooking. I know there are senior meals available either delivered to the home or that you can go out to do. And could you elaborate on that a bit?
Well, there's two different types of doing it. There are home-delivered meals, where meals are delivered to the home daily. Depending upon where you are and the resources that are available, they might be hot meals a certain amount of days a week and frozen the other days. And like for weekends, sometimes they're frozen meals, so you can put them in and heat them up. So, and that's available and very important to people that just either can't get out of the house enough to, I mean, they might be able to, like you said, do shopping, and then, but they just can't stand long enough to fix their dinner or something like that. And so home delivered meals are really good for that. Plus home delivered meals is often sort of a entry point for services. People will come and be delivering meals and they go, oh, this guy could really use some help. And the person that's delivering the meals gets to know the client. The client knows them, and so they can chat and they go, hey, I noticed that you're having a little more difficulty over here. Do you want me to call somebody or do you want a number to call? And so that often is sort of the front door of, okay, now let's see if we can keep this person safe and independent and do what we can for them. The meals where they gather together, I'm trying not to call it congregate meals, but there are meal sites where they come together and they can have their one meal a day, and it's a hot meal. A lot of people tend to go there almost more for the socialization than for the food, because they can eat, they can visit. It's a nutritious meal. It's hot. There are other people there they can talk to. And so those sites are around in various parts of our community, too. So those are available. Plus, there's sometimes churches that do free meals. There's a church over on the peninsula that twice a week does free meals for people. So there's a lot of different things there. And again, the best thing to do is to call our offices and we can say, well, there's congregate meals here, or this is how we can, sorry, congregate meals. There's group meals here. And or we can have home-delivered meals and make those connections for you.
Yeah, we kind of laugh over that word of congregate because I didn't know what I meant when I first heard it. But so I've been going toward dining centers. And so anyway, we do have dining centers in Clatsop County, too. We have them in Swenson, and there's one in Astoria. There's Warrenton, Seaside. And we really encourage people to get out, actually, and go to those centers, because there has been studies done that show that socialization is one of the best ways to stay healthy and to keep your brain active. And so I know it's sometimes easier just to kind of pull in and not go out, especially as you start to feel bad and you're just a little sick and maybe it's difficult to get out. But getting out to see people is very, very important. So we encourage them to do that as long as possible. And then when they can no longer do that, or it becomes hazardous for them to do that, then we want them to think about home-delivered meals. Also a good opportunity for volunteerism. Those sites always need volunteers.
Yes.
They always need home-delivered meal drivers. When I talk to our home-delivered meal drivers who have delivered for a while and get to know the people that they're delivering to, it's a very rewarding experience, because they get to know so much about them, and they get to see where they can really make a difference. They have found people who have fallen and couldn't get up. They've been able to call 911 for them. They've found people who were in kind of desperate situations, and they knew something was wrong. They've been going there every day or every other day for a long time. They know that when the car's in the driveway and the lights are on, that person should be coming to the door. They see the signs. And so we really value those folks a lot, and they get to know, and I think it's a very rewarding kind of volunteerism. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And they stay healthier too for it, and more active and more socialized. So that's a good win for everybody.
Now, I've heard there from some people that there are income requirements for various levels, but
for home delivered meals, over 60, it's the Older American Act program. So you just have to be over 60 and have difficulty shopping or cooking, like Doug said, standing for a long time to cook. Sometimes as people start having a little bit of dementia, early stage dementias, cooking can be dangerous. And so we would try to help in that area. So it's not real hard. It has nothing to do with income or resources. It has everything to do with their functionality.
Mm-hmm. And at the dining centers, there's it is Older American Act money, so it's there. If you can't afford it, don't go. But I mean, they may ask for a donation. I think some of them have like a $2 or $3 donation or something. But it's donation, and really is a donation. That's generally what we see is people that are coming in. Maybe they're in town, and mom and dad are going, you know what? This is where I go eat. So they go eat. So the kids will, you know, throw in their money to donate, but never let that stop anybody from going. If they hear, well, there's a donation, doesn't matter. It's Older American Act money. You've paid for it through your taxes. It's your food. Go eat.
We have a couple models in Clatsop County are a little bit different. We have two sites that are Older American sites like that are just donation. But we also have two sites that are private nonprofit groups. Those are a little bit different, but certainly they wouldn't want you not to come either if you couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. So certainly go. Yeah, go to them.
Well, I feel like we've just scratched the surface. I feel like we've just scratched the surface, but we are just about out of time. Oh. So is there anything either one of you would like to add quickly?
Well, maybe our contact information.
That would be good.
For our offices in Pacific County, in Raymond, the number is 360-942-2177. In Long Beach, it's 360-642-3634. And our website is www.o3a.org.
And in Clatsop County, it's Northwest Senior Disability Services. And we are located in Warrenton, back by the animal shelter behind Costco area. The phone number there is 503-861-4200. And the website is nwsds.org.
Well, thank you very much, Doug and Michelle, for being with us today on A Senior Moment.
Thank you.